Welcome to Opening Presents, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Tyler Juanu. They are an artist, a U.S. Army veteran, and the host of the podcast, How Are You Healing? In this conversation, we discuss how overcoming our conditioning requires a relentless spirit, why getting married at a young age is not the greatest idea, and finding fulfillment in serving others. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presents. We are all mirrors for each other. How do you pronounce your last name?
Juanu.
Juanu.
Juanu, like Juana piece of me, or Juana, Juana man.
Yeah.
That's what everyone in high school
I wasn't about
said.
To say that. See, like the low-hanging fruit, like type of reference things, like get on my nerves, but that one is very like obscure reference.
But so it's like, not, because everyone pretty, in high school said yeah, that one to me. You seen Juana man?
Yeah.
I was like, no,
yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah, that's so
funny. They refuse because
yeah,
of that.
Well, I get Aaron every single time. I'm like, yo, like you act like it's the first time you've heard of the name Aaron. it's like you've grown up your whole life hearing the name Aaron, and there was never any like referential thing. So it's like to have that reference, but you're like you're an adult now, and you're gonna pull that low hanging fruit. I'm like. Like, Juana Man is very particular.
Sure. Yeah, Aaron. I mean, my stepdad's name is Aaron, and it's the same
yeah.
every time.
I was like, okay, here you go.
I actually don't even know what that reference is.
Really? Okay, good.
Okay, great.
Like, you just earned a star in my book. I'm like, oh, yes. You're like, I don't get it. What are you talking about? Awesome. Well, we just started the podcast. Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you all so much for joining us in this beautiful backyard with a new homeowner,
pew, 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 pew.
Tyler Juanu. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining me here. I love to share this space. That's why I have it.
Yeah. What does it feel like to be a homeowner? Was there like this giant like weight off your shoulders or like what does that transition feel like? From renter to owner?
That's a great question, and it isn't as simple as you make it sound, especially someone who has such intense anxiety. It took me weeks to recognize that it was real, and I'm still like learning to be in my own space and recognize that this is my space to share. It feels like a lot mm-hmm. in the best way. I feel very... so much more grounded than I have in a long time. Mm-hmm. And Portland is like feeling more and more like home, which is like a lifelong dream. Like I was 12 the first time I visited here. My aunt went to PSU and she had an art exhibit and I came to see it and I fell in love with this place coming from the desert to coming to all this green. My eyes were just like having little orgasms. So it feels pretty special and I'm still integrating for sure and still accepting it and still, yeah, just letting it simmer.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that like the feeling of home is something that you've had to kind of like seek and find and it's not like a natural state of being? Uh-huh. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, we can't. And it's like we're... at least like my operating system is to seek it in pleasing other people, mm-hmm. mostly like pleasing mom, like mm-hmm. making mom happy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what do I have to do to make sure that mom is happy?
I relate to that one pretty intensely for sure.
Yeah. But it's like, it's not something that I've been able to like identify until now,
mm-hmm.
like years and years and years later. And like making mom happy turned into making other people happy, making friends happy, making mm-hmm. teachers happy, like mm-hmm. just, and not expressing self so much as to disrupt anyone else's mm-hmm. natural flow of being or whatever they decide is the way that they want to go. It's like, oh, make sure I'm not in the way.
Yep. I actually feel that way in my own home. I have roommates, which is a beautiful thing to be able to offer to people. I'm so happy to be able to do that. But that is part of the integrating that has been difficult for me to recognize that I get to exist as much as they get to exist in this mm-hmm. space. And I'm sorry you also experienced that, but what a fun journey to, you know, be on.
Yeah, well, it's just like becoming, like coming to recognize it and then mm-hmm. just like knowing that it doesn't always have to be like that. That's totally. The thing. It's just mm-hmm. like, hey, it doesn't always have to be like that. And I'm committed to becoming more embodied and taking mm-hmm. up more space. And mm-hmm. what does taking up space sound like or feel like without it being like an effort to yeah. do that? I'm like, I'm a big old muscle man now. like, look at me. Like, it's not even about that, but it's about like taking those like moments to breathe fully and just be with self with each moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, beautiful. So I guess, where did you grow up? Cause I would like, we've known each other for some time now, but like, I know that you've been to many places, experienced many, many things, but I want to know where your journey started and how you got to Portland.
Okay. Journey started in Phoenix, Arizona. My mom was 20 when she had me. My dad was a musician or is a musician, and he was not around. So I was mostly raised by my aunts who were like 16 and 18 and my mom who was 20 and then my grandma, which I think is such a beautiful experience to – I had such a beautiful like matriarchy around me.
Mm-hmm.
So Phoenix and then – some marriages. My mom got married a couple of times and we moved. So we were like in downtown Phoenix, not the best area, and then moved to a suburb of Phoenix called Anthem. And it's like one of those copy and paste situations. That was pretty brutal for me.
Mm.
I'm a little weirdo, and moving to a place where you have to like fit in and look like everyone was not a great time for me at 12.
Mm.
But my family has always been like my rock. I helped raise my siblings. That was a lot of my childhood, was like, you know, trying to, same as you, like trying to do.
Wow. That is legendary. Hey, Bubble. Okay. Hopefully the microphones no. pick that up. Oh my God. That is so good. So, can you introduce our friend over here?
So we've got Mr. Bones, Tinsley, my lab pit. And you may have heard his flatulence over the airwaves.
He just ripped a fart, but he's so handsome and stoic. So we're gonna let the now
his tux. Yeah, doesn't now, he look so good in yeah, his tux?
He's going to prom. Yeah. So you playing, being thrust into like kind of like a caretaker role so early, because I think a lot of women like have had that, like my mother, like especially, and just thinking about the matriarchy in my own family, where it's like my great grandmother had my grandmother and my uncle or my great uncle, and just a lot of like abandonment within mm-hmm. my family. Like I never met my grandmother or my grandfather of any of the grandfathers on my mother's side. And it's like, why are there just women? And like, and there's so much trauma, and it's like, I know that there's sexual trauma within like mm-hmm. the family and like abandonment issues and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even know how like me and my brother became so amazing. I was like, holy shit, it could have been like way worse than totally. It is. And I'm like, yo, how did my mom and like pull it together? My grandmother pull it together. My great grandmother put it together. But yeah, so go into like being put into that role and yeah.
Sure. I mean, I didn't really recognize that it wasn't normal until very recently. Mm. I wanted to do it too. I loved my brother so much. It was just me and my brother for a long time until my mom got married to my stepdad, and he had two kids. And so stepbrother and stepsister, and then they had a baby together. So it's my stepsister is 4 years younger than me, and my stepbrother and my brother are 6 years younger than me, and then the youngest is 14 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me how – will you repeat the question?
The questions will always change. It's okay. Like, I forgot what the question was. But I guess, like, being in kind of, like, a caretaker role, like, how does that shape, like – I guess, a child or becoming like a young adult as well, because it's like you don't really understand like what is being asked of you mm-hmm. and kind of like how you're supporting like your mother or how you're supporting the family, how you're supporting your siblings. But then I'm sure that that kind of role reverberates throughout life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It definitely affected the way that I came to know myself. I was definitely more focused on other people and making sure that other people were okay and that they were doing well, and only recently have been able to like explore who I am, what I want, what I desire, what my purpose is, what is aligned for me. It's always, always, always been about everyone else. Like, I joined the army to make my family proud. I got married because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. I was raised Mormon for a period of time, and then moving to Anthem, it was like the expectation that I was going to get married and have children, and that was going to be me being a good person.
Mm-hmm.
So I got married at 18. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, so this is marriage number two.
Oh, shit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Damn. Okay, so at 18.
Yep.
I guess I want to go.
A man at Young Life Camp.
Yeah. Wait, is Young Life Camp a Mormon camp?
It's a Christian camp.
Okay.
I didn't know until I got there that it was a Christian camp. They reeled me in with games.
Well, what's it like being married at 18? Because I am 33, and marriage, at least in a traditional sense, is something that I like have so much evidence of, like the contrary, or like I'm of the mind of like figuring it out with the person that you're with. And see what makes sense. But what was that like?
Really unhealthy. It was not good. I mean, I was unable to explore who I was and was there to be supportive of someone else. He was in the Navy, so I immediately moved to South Carolina at 18 and was thrust into this whole other world. Goose Creek, South Carolina versus Anthem, Arizona is a very, very different world. And was very isolated from my community. I'd say, I mean, at 18, you don't know how to be in marriage. You don't know how to be in relationship. Like, that is a time to explore what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I am sad for young me that I didn't get to explore, like, what was right for me, or what would be also supportive and fulfilling of me. It was just as soon as someone showed me love, I was like, shh. Especially yeah. with, like, the abandonment of my father. Like, that sure. definitely played into it. I mean, marriage, don't recommend. Like, I just don't.
Hear that,
I
folks?
I think it's
you heard it here first. Second and third.
No, not third. Just two. Just playing. Yeah, not great. That's my review.
Sure.
Of that one, at least.
So did you join the army at 18 too?
19.
At 19?
So it was an abusive relationship. So I'm grateful that I was smart enough to be like, let's get the fuck out of here. So I enlisted and was gone.
So you used that as a means of getting out of that situation?
I didn't know that's what I was doing at the time, but in retrospect, that's the conclusion I've come to.
Mm-hmm.
It was miserable. It was really bad.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah, it's so interesting because like as a man, like that's something that I won't experience. And it's hard for me to like, this may sound like cold, but it's hard to empathize for something that I can't even fathom of in like the terror.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like what would it feel like if like my life was in danger, and it's like I feel emotionally tied to somebody, and it's like the strength that it takes to like consciously or unconsciously like get the fuck out. And like how many like women are out there, how many people are out there that are like in those types of similar yeah. situations that don't know how to get out, and even if they did are fearful of like getting out of that situation. Like if there is someone like listening that has or is experiencing that kind of situation, I guess if you can like offer a couple of words to for maybe like something to consider or a step in the direction of self and safety?
It's hard, but just do it. I mean, like, you have to. No one is going to do it for you. No one's going to save you. You have to be the one to do it. And that also sounds a little harsh, but I mean, it's the reality of the situation. And it was not physically abusive. And I that's a very, very different thing. I want to also, like, draw that line. And I don't have anything to offer to that, because that adds another thing to it. But you can do it. Like, you can do it. You're strong enough. You will recover. And there's, like, so much on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, it was interesting. I did a meditation workshop at a school. And, like, they're, like, middle schoolers, like, 13, 12, 11. And one of, like, the little girls, like, asked me a question. It was, like, what if, like, at home isn't safe? And, like, how can, like, meditation, like, or, like, what should I do, essentially? And, like, I took a moment and I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't have the experiences that qualify me to offer any sort of advice of that side. But I basically, like, came to the conclusion of, like, you know what you have to do, like, and seek help, and you're smart. Like, you have people who love you, but, like, you have to navigate that, because you're like, the thing is, like, the helplessness, it's like there is like a level of helplessness for like youth, but like at the end of the day, it's like, no, like they're a lot smarter and mm-hmm. capable than parents kind of like put them in this like little box of like, oh, you can't do that because you're young or whatnot, or you don't know better, you didn't see that thing. It's like, nah, like kids have a lot of autonomy, and they can decide and discern, and trusting that. And I think that goes for like adults too, that have been taught for so long that they're helpless and that they need mm-hmm. someone else to make them feel safe or validated or whatnot. But it's, yeah, that journey is,
I think that's the perfect advice, to equip them with that, or empower them, equip them with that empowerment.
Yeah. What is your empowerment journey been? And like, where does that start?
I mean, it probably started then, mm-hmm. enlisting in the military. I was super empowered. I was a very good soldier, which is hard for me to admit, because my heart does not align with or support what the military stands for. I wasn't aware of what I was doing when I enlisted, but it was really great to be faster and stronger than all those men, make them put them in their places. They did not enjoy it, but I did. So it probably started there, and then it has continued through. I feel like there was like a numb period, like a lull. Pretty much most of my last marriage was just kind of day to day doing the things without considering whether it was something I wanted to do or was aligned. It was a time of complacency.
Mm-hmm.
But then ending the second marriage was a time of empowerment and of realignment and refocusing. And a year prior to initiating the divorce, I was in Connecticut living with my partner, and it was kind of an isolated time. And that was like a time where I was like, I'm just going to get to know myself. I'm going to use this time to really connect. I shaved my head and just like, you know, did all that stuff.
We got two shaved heads.
I
we
just
got
two shaved heads. I was like, I need to meet this person.
Shout out to Corey.
Corey and Tyler, how perfect.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So that was nice. A great time for me. I actually was encouraged by, you probably know April. A lot of people in our community do her healing services or receive support from her. But I had an ancestral healing with her and a shamanic journey. And one of the messages for me was to, it's always like very poetic and beautiful, but I can't remember what it was. And it was saying to like release my hair, to release the codependency with my mother. Because, yeah. Well, here, one more thing. She was a hairstylist. And my whole life, I was her guinea pig. And she just did whatever she wanted with my hair. So it was like even more of a thing to just be like,
wow.
Bye, mom. But also, whoa. I love you, Mom.
Yeah. Damn. That is so wild to have that sort of experience. before we dive, keep diving into that,
sure.
I want to, and sorry for y'all listening, I'm just like hopping around. But Tyler in the service and like what kind of mentality that is, mm-hmm. and is that like a switch that you feel like you're able to kind of like tap into like the super version of self, like to go through like mm-hmm. even basic training and just like to continue on that journey and like kind of like training your body and your mind and like becoming a weapon of sorts, like
yeah.
like what do you recall from like that person mm-hmm. and like what has that given you?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I like that you brought that up too, because the military shut off my creativity switch. Like I remember noticing that and being like, I can't even like color in a coloring book anymore, which is something that has brought me joy. It definitely just like psh, off. But it is something that I like to reflect on and be, when things are hard, be like, you've been through harder. Like you've had to give up more, suck up more, shut down more of the things in your head. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely empowering, but sorry. I just went into my barracks room. I didn't like that. Like in my head. It also like wasn't great.
Sure.
Like, yeah. I was really hard on myself. And a lot of like just constantly battling those negative thoughts coming from other people saying negative things to me or about me. Being a woman in the military is not something I recommend. Sorry, I lost it.
Yeah, no worries. Ooh. No, it's my dad was in the service and it was like very like just seeing like the character structure of him and just like how like emotionally like unavailable and mm-hmm. just dead that he mm-hmm. is, and I'm just like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Like what happened? Like I'm sure you grew up probably not like the most outgoing person, but it's like this inability to connect with people on like a real level, let alone like your family or friends or whatever. Like it's just an act. It's like I've seen him act in front mm-hmm. of people and I'm just like, that ain't you. Like show them the real you. And just wondering like what happened when you were in service. Like I honestly, like I've told my brother this, I was like, I don't, like maybe you got like assaulted like in the military mm-hmm. or something haze to that effect.
Yeah,
because it's like to the effect that you withdrew and like didn't want to form a relationship with your sons, like something happened in totally. Life that you don't feel safe and you want to protect yourself. So yeah, I think a lot of people have a lot of different experiences in the military, and like obviously it's like I haven't served, so I can't, like I know that there are benefits, but I think a lot of people like leave not being, like losing a part of themselves that yeah. they can't get back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Someone,
I never know how to respond
yeah, yeah,
to that.
Someone,
like,
someone said,
I did it for college.
Sure, sure. And someone that was that I work with recently that served, he's like, whenever people say thank you for your service, he's like, well, you pay for it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, so that's okay. A great response. Well, you pay for it. So
yeah, thanks for sending me to South Korea and Australia.
Yeah.
They were great times. Yeah. I really enjoyed
yeah, great
it.
Great food over there.
Oh, the best.
Awesome. So as this podcast goes, we just hop around wherever we want to go. So ancestral healing, what is that?
So for me, it is digging into my familial past and specifically like looking at my mom and my aunts and my grandma and looking at the things that maybe they didn't have the privilege to do. Like I feel so, everyone always talks about like, oh, I was meant to be growing up in the 60s or whatever. I'm pretty grateful to be alive now because I am able to be more fully myself. I am a queer individual. I am non-binary. My pronouns are she, they. Like how fun that that's something that I get to outwardly express and like communicate. I'm being able to fully explore what a fulfilling relationship looks like for me in the past, in my ancestral past. It's been about survival. Like for women generally, it's defined safety. And that's what it was for me. I married my first husband because that was safe. Like, he was in the military and we were going to be set. Like, I didn't have to worry about all this stuff my single mom worried about. Same with the second husband. It was the same kind of thing. It was like, this is safe. But I never considered, am I being supported in all the other ways I should be supported in? Am I able to, you know, live this fulfilling life with this partner that is constantly evolving? None of those things were able to be considered. And I have the privilege and the support to be able to be like, do I even want that? Do I want to have multiple partners? Do I want to, you know, I don't know. I just never considered it. I've been reflecting on this a lot as I've been like dipping my toes back into dating and seeing what that looks like. I never once considered anything other than, this person likes me. Great. I'm safe now. That sucks.
Yeah.
That's lame that I've never, and now I have all these friendships and other things that are filling needs, and I'm able to fill needs for them in other ways. And it's really fun and beautiful to get to like consider all these possibilities in life rather than be sequestered to safety and survival.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how cool.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful thing to engage on that healing journey and mm-hmm. like to be educated on like our past and the areas that we need to heal. Like, how are you able to find and discern the things that you need to address? Like, if you don't have like a healer to tap into and whatnot, like mm-hmm. I feel like it's like a self-assessment. And then it's like, maybe this is something that like my dad had or my grandmother mm-hmm. had. Like, how have you experienced kind of diving through that and seeding through the healing?
Yeah. Earlier this year, I went to Salt Lake City where my parents lived, and my mom had boxes of just photos. And I got stoned and just started looking through them. And then my grandma came into town and I just asked questions. And then I set up a phone call with my grandfather. Of me and my brother weekly, and that we would just ask questions. And sometimes they're a little, you know, hairy. I was specifically asking like about mental health stuff, and older folks have some weird views about that. My grandma kept calling my aunt creative, and I was like, what does that mean? I don't like the way you're saying that. But diving into that stuff, I know not everyone has access to that too, which sucks. But I am very privileged to have that. And we have so many tools now too. Like, didn't you find family on the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how cool.
Yeah, it's like, I gotta like get back to them. It's like overflowed, like how many people I've like gotten in contact with. Like 2 years ago, like me and my brother went to Hawaii and met with my great uncle. So my mom's uncle. But just got to sit there and ask him questions, but he has, dementia or like from like head traumas and stuff. He's like a boxer and football player and all that kind of stuff.
Yikes.
So he's been repeating himself like after, like we were there for like 20 minutes. And then once he said the same thing twice, I was like, ah, shit, like he gone.
Yep.
But nevertheless, like I had like this equipment that we're using right now, like I had it just like in the living room at their house. And like whenever he would just be talking, I would just have it on and it just record, and I would just ask questions. And some of the things he would repeat, some of them like was like, oh, that was a new one right there. And I just have like hours of this audio that's just sitting on like my hard drive right now that I'll like look through at some point. But that's one thing that I do regret, is that like I never like did a like I didn't start the podcast till my mom passed, but just like having those conversations, or having more photos and audio and all of the content that we like had the technology for, but we just didn't like sit there and like think that it was valuable in that moment. Cause like I would give everything just to have like one more conversation with my mom. Mm. Like, and it's like, yo, like while they're alive, like we got to do this thing.
Totally.
But yeah, it's very interesting though, to like that whole concept of like your unhealed trauma is, or your parents' unhealed trauma is like your like responsibility now. And it's like, I very much can just look at my dad and how he raised me, and look at my mother's like tendencies and overgiving and not having boundaries or healthy boundaries, I'm like, oh, those are my lessons. It's mm-hmm. very clear, like the things that we're lacking and all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's illuminated by like our parental examples. So it's like, oh, my dad doesn't know how to communicate really well and he doesn't really open his heart. And it's like, oh, I know what I gotta do. I gotta be like the most I gotta be the most communicative, like loving person in the world. like I gotta be that person, and I gotta have boundaries, and I gotta, like, for people who don't want to help themselves, I gotta allow them to not help themselves, and I don't have to fucking fill the void and do it for them, because that's what my mom did for other people. Was like, this person needs a place to stay, and it's like, yo, like, you've been here for 6 months, like, are you even trying to get anywhere else? Like not allowing people to kind of get by on my kindness and and create those boundaries, because those are, at the end of the day, it's just siphoning off your energy, and and people take you for granted. And I think that's something that I've recognized, is just being taken for granted and thinking that that's exactly what I deserved. Or whether it's partners like not really giving a fuck about me, and just me being like, oh yeah, that's like what I deserve. And I'm just like, nah, fuck that. Like, I want kindness. Like,
reciprocity and some,
reciprocity is major.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. I'm glad you've done that.
Yeah, and it's ongoing. It's like the new, like some of the old shit comes back up, and it's like, oh here's the next level of the game. I'm like, nah, you didn't do it. You got to do it again. Yeah, you got to do it again. The last one was like, yeah, the last one was just child's play. That was like the warm up, and then it's like the real one, and then it's like the stickiness.
Yeah,
and then it gets open again, and you're like, oh, this is fun. This is like freedom. And then it's like, nah, there's
that's
another.
One of the beautiful things about relationships, that it'll, you know, trigger or highlight those, and then that's something that I realized I didn't have before, that I'm looking for. I want someone who wants to be like, okay, we're gonna work through this, and I want to, like, you know their shit and be like, cool, I know where this is coming from, I'm here for you, let's figure this out. Like, I get it, instead of just like the reactive.
Yeah, that's shit. I've always been in that space of just being in the reactive and just being triggered, and then like just fight, flight, or freeze, mostly just freeze, and then just be like, all right, how do I maneuver so that this person stays around without, and then me not expressing like what I truly feel. Because it's like, if I just express what I truly feel, then it's not safe, and then they'll run away, and then I'm at the end of the day, I'm not worthy of love. Because if they leave, then that's what it means.
Wound.
Yeah, and it's like, it's so unhealthy. And I think like addressing that, and it's like the, like it's not comfortable either way you go. Like,
yeah,
it, like, you go into the to the storm, or you run away from the storm. Like,
he'll,
it's
going to
catch
you.
Yeah, it's still going to catch up with your
ass. You ever
watch
storm chasers? Yeah, they almost always die.
yeah. So like, walking into it is definitely like a newer experience for me, but an experience that I'm like, yo, like, I'm tired of running that same race. And it's just like, it doesn't feel good to keep putting things off, or like to just stomach the emotions and just be like, oh, okay, like, here we go again, and getting triggered and not having any sort of resolve. But then, like, once you like face it, and you're like, oh, like, there is like a freedom on the other side of it, and there is understanding on the other side of it. That's the thing that I appreciate the most, is like putting it all out on the table, and then just like having like a understanding. And it always is so like logical, like when both parties like put it out on the table, and it's like, oh, like, you felt that way because of this and that. And it's like, it comes together like a little puzzle, like, so perfectly. I'm like, oh, the beauty of communication.
I know, for real. It's so funny how often we'll like avoid the conversation, like even with roommates. Sometimes we avoid, it's like, why? If we just have the conversation, it'll be done.
Yeah.
And we'll all be happier.
Sure. I think it's like just having trust in other people's intentions. Like, that's that's the tough thing, because it's something that kind of goes unseen, and you don't know like where people stand. So like, unless you have like that full trust in someone's intentions, that they want to see you happy, like you want to see them happy, that's a hard place to get to of trust.
That's very beautifully said. I do want to hop back and say one more thing about the ancestral stuff.
We can live there if we want.
Cool. I don't believe that it is only blood, because I have lots of people who, like, lots of different dads who came into my life, and I am having to heal ancestral wounds through those folks too. So mm-hmm. I think that is an important thing yeah. to think about. Or yeah. even like friends, mom's friends who also raised me, like their stuff also gets integrated into mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah. That is a major point. I feel like I was always looking for a dad in the absence of my own.
Yep.
Like I'm like, my dad is like he's standing right there, but like oh, he's so like like spiritually disconnected from my experience, where it's like I would search for dads in like my friends' parents mm-hmm. and like people that were older than me. Like I had a baseball coach my senior year who was like, I was like 18 and I think he was like 28, like close to 30, but like he took to me and I took to him, and I was like, oh, like this is subconsciously, it was like, oh, like this is like my mentor. And I would yeah. always like choose mentors, like, and like it would always just blow up in my face because my desire for like this to work out and like for us to like, I don't know, start a company and like ride off into the sunset as like brothers yeah. and like create like lives together and like have this mentorship or just like have a brotherhood of sorts was something I kind of like force fed people yeah. around me with, like, all right, like even with like roommates and stuff. Like I remember like when I was 25, like my lease ended at one spot, and then I was like, oh, I'm gonna curate like the people that live in this house. So I got like friends that like didn't know each other. It's kind of like Real World, and I was like like the creative director for it. But I was like, all right, you and you, like, let's all live together. And like I found the house, and I was like, here's the rent, da da da, and we're gonna like start like a music group together, and da da da, like
hell yeah,
like we're gonna so start cute. A clothing brand, and we're gonna just like have like a fucking bachelor pad and get all the hoes.
Oh, great.
Didn't happen like that.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's individual psychosis came out, and it was just like so much like turmoil and whatnot. But yeah, seeking the validation in other people was something that was like my core like wound that I tried to like fill. And it's been a process, but I feel like I've made a lot of progress on that journey of just like just pouring into myself as much yes. as possible, to the point where it's just like, you can call me selfish, whatever, but it's like, I'm gonna, as long as I'm like always coming back to self, like, and I don't abandon myself, because that's something I was way too willing to do, is like, oh, like someone else has got something going on, cool, like abandon self, do the thing that they're doing or whatever.
Yep.
But now it's like, I can't do that. And then whenever I feel disconnected, it's like, oh, like I'm giving up on myself, like what I'm doing like needs to come first.
It's amazing that you've gotten to that place. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
That's hard fucking work, and so many people are not willing to do it, not willing to look at that. And thanks for being a mirror for me, because that's kind of where I feel like I am at now. And somebody recently was like, it's okay to be selfish in this moment. And I was like, oh. And I've been doing that, and it's been great. And now my cup is filling, and now I'm going to have stuff to share out of my cup.
Yeah.
That is so exciting, because I was so depleted for so long, and I would show up and be like, I don't have anything to give anyone. Mm. And that was stressful to me, because that's what I think this is all about, filling our own cups and then, you know, splashing it outwards.
Mm-hmm. On the topic of splashing outwardly... How are you healing the podcast? Tell me about it.
Well, I just released the first episode today. Thank you very
today?
Yes.
Oh, today. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It's the pre-episode, so it's not...
the prep-isode.
The prep-isode. And some journal entries from the year leading up to my divorce.
So that's the concept of this beginning portion of it?
Yeah, I just ripping the Band-Aid off of the vulnerability aspect, but... we'll hold for the squirrel chases.
No, we're good.
Okay, great. But the idea is to connect with people and hear about how they're healing, whether it's ancestral trauma or whatever, because we're all in a mode of healing, especially now in this time. I think even more people have gotten to this place where they're like, fuck that old stuff. Let's move forward and live more aligned lives so that we can, you know, keep that spin up, get the energy right, fix everything, hopefully turn things around. I don't know. I've got a lot of hope, but yeah, I just want to connect with people. I was definitely inspired by you. I already had plans to start the podcast, but was love the just the sheer openness and willingness to rip yourself open and be like, here, this is for you all.
Mm-hmm.
Take what you need. Because that's what we're all here for. I truly have come to this place where, like, community and each otherness is, like, it's all we got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the systems and the government aren't here for us.
No.
If you still think that, let's have a talk. Because it's all about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. And congratulations on dropping your first episode. I'm excited
it's
to... It's vulnerable, but it's like when there's just like you, there's nowhere to be like attacked when you put it all out there. I'm just like, oh, I've put some shit out there where it's like you can't use my truth against me.
Totally.
Like that's the part where it's the most freeing, because it's like, yeah, as difficult as it is and how like not sexy it is to talk about like these things that are. Have
I would like to say I disagree, because I think it's sexy.
Okay, it is sexy. It's the sexiest. It's the sexiest thing
like,
in the world.
Why would you not want to connect with people on that level?
Yeah, I guess. In okay, I would.
But
just
I
say
know
like,
what you're saying.
Like vulnerable place. Yeah, to share these things, but it's like I don't need to protect myself from anything.
Mm.
It's like I can't. I like why would I? Like you can't use this against me. I already said it. Like, I've already made peace with these parts of myself that at one point I was ashamed of. And now I'm like, oh, that's just a part of the story. Like, that's a part of the legend now.
Hell
and it's
yeah.
like,
hell yeah.
Like, it's like, we're going to keep moving forward. And I think the more people that kind of start engaging in that manner, it's like, the more, like, the better, like, I feel like, they'll be able to show up for their community and find community in that in that sense. Cause it's like, what's the point of finding community if it's just going to be on like these like topical issues, like sports and stuff. It's
totally.
Like, that's your community. Like you just go to the fucking bar and eat chicken wings and drink beer and that's it. Like you guys don't talk about, you don't grow in any sense. It's like these matters of sport and stuff are great and stuff to bring people together. But it's like, all right, what are you doing after that? It's like you don't really care about the person that's there. You care about like the Batman symbol. It's like that's just a symbol. Like where's like the substance? The substance is with each other. And it's like if you're not willing to go there, then we don't have anything.
Yeah. And the substance is what it's all about. That's something else too, is like I went to a Jazz is Dead show the other day, and I was listening to a man talking about just like sucking the nectar out of life, and I was like, hell yeah, like that's what it's about, is about that muchness.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
Why be alive if you're not going to experience the depths of the people that you are in relationship with, or the depths of even just food? You know, like we just need to experience as much as we possibly can. Like I love looking at the lights on the trees, like the leaves. This is my favorite spot to just like look up and stare. And there's so much.
Yeah.
Just like come back to self, recenter, refocus, and start to notice more. Like notice more is such a wonderful reminder for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a little chaotic, tangential
situation.
That's how my brain works.
No, we got to recognize the richness that is around us at all times. Because it's easy to like just get very like hyper-focused on one thing and center oneself in like a non-selfish, in like a obsessive way. Like my issues are like the only issues in the world and whatnot. And anytime we can kind of take a little step back of perspective, like, and just appreciate, is something that is always gonna I don't know, I think moving forward, to have that space to kind of reflect and to loosen up a little bit. It's like I'm trying to like dance more, like dance, like,
oh, we should have warmed up
music,
with a little dance
dancing. Like I'm like, I'm trying, like, yeah,
I,
if I'm doing
post,
those things,
I really enjoyed that. Do more of that.
I will do more of that. For sure. Most definitely. Are there any other arenas of life that are bringing you, that are you're curious about or have been wanting to explore?
So I am at my core an anti-capitalist. But I have recently gotten a new job that I'm very excited about, that is going to be very fulfilling, that I hopefully will get to have you engage in a little bit. But I'm going to be working at a local high school.
Dope.
With 9th to 10th graders. I'm going to be a success advocate. So essentially, I just get to become best friends with these kids and be their cheerleader and be like, you can do it. I got you. So I'm hoping that maybe like we can bring you in with some like meditation stuff. And I just am super excited about being able to actually be a pillar of support and moving from and redefining what it mean, what a career looks like or means. Like that's watching you and watching all of our other friends just figure out ways to make the impact that they want to make on the world has been really beautiful, because I come from a place of like, you get the job, you make the money, you buy the house, you fill it with children and things, and that is life. And that is not life for me. That does not suit me. I want more of that muchness that we were talking about. So I guess to answer your question, mentorship. I'm excited to like step into that role in a different way, in a less enmeshed way, because coming from where I did with the way I like helped raise my siblings, that sort of thing, it was like very much an enmeshed relationship. And this will be really cool to just be a role model by, and it feel like it gives me even more, I feel more empowered to follow those goals and dreams of like, I am going to go back to art school. Got to keep saying it, or go back to school, but I want to go back to school for art. And to get to do that and like have the accountability of some 9th and 10th graders, pretty exciting.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I'm happy that you get to have that experience, because it's, as far as like purpose is concerned and connecting to that purpose, like whenever you're around like kids, I'm like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 100%. Like, what higher expression could there possibly be other than to like share your truth with kids and tell them that it's okay and encourage them that their ideas and their feelings are valid. And like there is no one way to go about it, but like, here's a couple of tools, you can try them out and whatnot. Like,
exactly.
I just did an alternative high school, or led a meditation at an alternative high school this last week, and just showing up, and just, they were like doing a remodel, and it's like literally like we had like 12 kids in like just this little room, and it was the end of the day, and like they, I think they were doing like a half day, so like lunch was at like 1:30, and it was just like they were just like, they all showed up, and I'm just like sitting there, I'm like, all right, like we're gonna go through this like meditation, and I'm telling them about me and like who I was when I was a kid. And like, it's funny because it's like whenever I do like high schoolers, it's like they'll be like talking and laughing and texting each other, and I'm like, hey, can we put our phones away, like to start? And then like when the meditation starts, it's like they'll laugh. Like I'll be doing like a guided prompt, and it's just like, regardless of how it fizzles out, it's like, no, like I showed up for them. Like that's the most that I can do, like on this earth, is to show up for kids. Like there's nothing outside of that, like that tells me or gives me more validation than to be of service of a young person, because like I'm doing the things that I needed when I was that age.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, oh, like I could have used me, like just the image, just the image of this, like me showing up somewhere and being like, yo, like you got this, like let's do this. Like yeah, you have parents, you have teachers, but they're all just trying to figure it out too.
Yeah.
Like they don't have
it
all figured out.
I wish more people
why didn't nobody say that shit? Like why didn't anybody say like, yeah, Mrs. Adams, your history teacher, she don't know shit. Like I wish somebody said that.
Me too.
But like it was very interesting though, like in this last week, it was like a couple days ago, but it was like there was one kid that had like dreadlocks, and he was he was just like locked in the whole entire time.
Cool.
And afterwards, like the staff were like, yeah, that was the first time Amar like was off his phone the whole day. Like he was really, really focused on it. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like I did my job. Like if one kid like is affected by what I have to give or what I have to say, then I did my job. And it was funny because it was like afterwards, like all the kids like went to the bus stop and left. And like, he was just kind of like standing like by like the area where I was like about to like leave, and I was like, oh, like he's waiting for to talk or whatever. And I just like introduced myself to him and just thanked him for being there. And I was like, oh, you have Instagram? Cool. Let's follow each other on Instagram. All right, cool. All right, man. And it was just like, that was it. But it was just like, I don't know what the impact is, but it's like, that's for him to possibly contemplate, what is this inner experience? Mm-hmm. Like, who is Amar? What is this environment that I'm growing up in and whatnot? Who am I listening to? And those are the questions. And can we plant the seed?
Yeah.
And it seems like you have an opportunity to plant many, many seeds.
That's the goal. Just some self-love. And yeah, I'm really, really excited about that. And I love that you got to do that too. I definitely have people from my childhood that I remember that I'm like, they said or did or introduced me to things like yoga. I was introduced to when I was in elementary school, and I still remember that teacher. She changed everything for me because she did a raisin meditation with us. You just put a raisin in your mouth and you chew it until it's gone. But it's such a grounding and like present. I had never been asked to be that present in my life before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about it all the time. I actually have done that with some of our friends before too. It's a great
raisin meditation. Yeah. That seems like that's going to be part of my new curriculum.
Yeah.
I'm going to get sponsored by, I don't know, what's that raisin company? Yeah, yeah, with like the little face on it.
Oh, with the dancing ones?
I don't know.
Or the lady.
The lady.
There's like, from the 80s, there's like these rock star ones. They had like sunglasses. I'll show you.
Rockstar raisins. Yeah. Rockstar raisin brand.
Oof.
Hell yeah. Was there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners?
Carpe diem, life is short. That was my first tattoo when I was 18. Actually, I wanted to join the Air Force. They said no because I had the tattoo on my neck. So that's how I ended up in the Army.
No
shit.
They're
like, go next door. And I went and cried in my car, and then I went and enlisted.
Wow.
But I'm joking about the carpe diem, but also, like, not really, because we can get so locked in on, you know, the day-to-day, whatever we're chasing after. But remember to, like, seek out your dreams, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, like, the survival shit.
Most definitely. And always remember, whoever has the most fun wins.
How did we not talk about that? Yes, that's it.
Whoever has the most fun wins. We can talk about it.
I mean, that has carried me through a lot of things.
So, Tyler and I played beer pong at a party at Ashley and Saki's house. We were dominating a lot. And I'm a beer pong champion. Tyler, not so much.
I don't drink.
I don't know. Yeah. And beer pong wasn't a thing. So as we were going on our path of domination, I kept mentioning that whoever has the most fun wins. And that is what carried us through the whole experience of missing cups, making cups. And we ended up at the finals with Saki and Ashley, who are college dorm mates at heart. They've done this a lot, but I think that's a good outlook to have, because regardless if you win or lose, like, I feel like having fun is synonymous with being present and being with the person that you're with, or being with the people or the community that you're with, where that connection is so like sacred and important that whatever with that the number on the scoreboard like happens to be at the end of it does not supplant like that investment that you made in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, like the more connected you are, like the more times than not that scoreboard is in your favor.
It does seem that way. We did get some cool prizes.
Yeah, we got some cool t-shirts.
Yeah.
Dope. Well, thank you, Tyler. And thank you all for listening to Opening Presence.